Welcome to the AAPG Sustainable Development Podcast. The purpose of the AAPG Sustainable Development Committee is to communicate broadly the positive technical, economic, environmental, and social benefits of the petroleum industry and its collective efforts towards sustainable development, which this podcast is one of the ways we strive to accomplish. A quick disclaimer before we begin, the opinions shared in this podcast are views from the featured company or individual and are not necessarily representative of the larger group of companies involved in AAPG. My name is Sarah Barnes, and I'm an earth scientist at Chevron. I'd like to introduce our next guest, Philip Tesch, who is a geologist at Oxy. Welcome, Philip. Can you tell us about yourself and the work that you do?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. My name is Philip Tesch, and I'm an early career geo. I graduated in 2018 with a PhD in geology from Texas A&M University and started working with Occidental Petroleum in the Permian Enhanced Oil Recovery business unit in October of 2018. In my current position, I'm working conventional reservoirs of the Permian Basin in Texas, all the way from primary production to water flood and CO2 flood. I consider myself extremely lucky to work on projects that are a natural next step from my PhD research that focus on carbon and system evolution using seismic and outcrop data. Now, in Enhanced Oil Recovery in EOR, we have plenty of production data and engineering brain power to complement geological models. That really makes for a fantastic setup to develop and test our hypotheses of phase-east distribution and fluid flow response in the subsurface.
That's really cool, Philip. And I know the Permian has a wealth of data, so I'm sure it's a really exciting place to work. So how does sustainability tie into the work that you do?
I think in the oil and gas industry, we all share the understanding that fossil fuels are not just a commodity, but also a limited natural resource that will naturally give way to renewable energy resources over time. I've always thought of the role of the petroleum geologist as someone who can unlock the most efficient and economic use out of the limited natural resources we have. And I see it as a key part of my current role in EOR. And the same attitude is reflected by not only company guidelines, but also built into legislature. To give you an example from a state level perspective, as the governing body that oversees oil and gas activity in the state of Texas, the Texas Railroad Commission's statutory roles include preventing waste of the state's natural resources. This roughly translates to basically not leaving any hydrocarbons in the ground that could be produced, and also includes regulations on venting and flaring gas, for example. And by the way, despite the name, authority over railroads in Texas has been transferred to the Texas Department of Transportation in 2005. Now, on a federal level, the US government is incentivizing carbon capture, utilization, and storage, or CCUS, in the form of Section 45Q tax credits for the secure storage and use of CO2 in geologic formations, or for use in EOR operations that results in CO2 emissions reductions. Such projects have to pass substantial permitting requirements and have to be accompanied by an MRV, or Monitoring, Reporting, and Verification plan. In addition, there are federal regulations for so-called Class 6 wells, and these are wells being used for geological sequestration of CO2. Those have to meet specific geological and surface criteria and are permitted and regulated by the EPA. Now, for two recent examples from within Oxy, one would be a 2018 project with a company called White Energy to capture CO2 that is generated as a byproduct of ethanol processing by White Energy for use in sequestration and EOR by Oxy. And another example is the 120-acre solar farm that Oxy completed in 2019 to supply all energy required for field operations of the Goldsmith field in the Permian Basin.
That's really cool, especially that Oxy has these recent CO2 capture and solar farm projects that are really making an impact on the business. Where do you see this field going in the future?
I'm glad to see that we have left behind us the days of lowering and detonating nitroglycerin into the wellbore to show off the fantastic gusher of a well that was just drilled, which was all the rage in the early 1900s, for example. We live in a time now when oil and gas companies use technology and expertise to run a successful business while putting dramatically more effort towards CO2 neutrality as part of long-term climate substantial.
That's really cool that Oxy is involved in these recent projects that involve CO2 capture and a solar farm out in the Permian. Where do you see this field going in the future?
I'm glad to see that we have left behind us the days of lowering and detonating nitroglycerin in the wellbore to show off the fantastic gusher of a well that was just drilled, which was all the rage in the early 1900s, for example. We live in a time now when oil companies use technology and expertise to run a successful business while putting dramatically more effort towards CO2 neutrality as part of long-term climate sustainability goals. The entire oil and gas industry has come a long way over the last 100 plus years and is now smarter and more efficient in many ways. It has adapted to realign their businesses, not just to meet energy demand, but also to meet societal demands and responsibility. Investors these days focus on carbon neutrality and adherence to the Paris Climate Agreement, in addition to a culture of safety, diversity, and inclusion. This is dramatically different from investor priorities about 20 plus years ago. I think then society and shareholders would keep on incentivizing the direction they want to see the industry moving. And the oil and gas industry has and will continue to adapt and align itself with this vision. For companies worldwide, not just the US oil and gas industry, the current trajectory is clearly leading towards achieving carbon neutrality. One example here is Oxy's Low Carbon Ventures, LCV, subsidiary that is making a big push for the implementation of direct air capture technology. Imagine a giant stack of fans in the oil fields of West Texas that are fueled by hydrocarbon gas from nearby wells and extract CO2 out of the atmosphere and then compress it for CO2 flooding and sequestration. The focus here is on carbon sequestration with added benefit of free, in quotation marks, CO2. Just a neat way of killing two birds with one stone. On the one hand, to lower atmospheric CO2 concentrations, and on the other hand, also optimize hydrocarbon recovery efficiency. Now, I don't like to speculate or predict specific future outcomes. What I can say is that carbon capture utilization and storage is definitely ramping up right now. How long this is going to last, or what happens once that path plateaus out, who knows? We have very smart people working on challenges and questions that keep on changing and evolving over time. And I wouldn't be surprised if future technologies were to change the current trajectory again before renewable energy sources eventually become dominant.
I think you hit on a really key point here where the technology is continually changing and evolving, but it's also really exciting to watch and be a part of where it's really going to go. So what sort of opportunities do you see for early career or scientists?
In short, I would say ambition and patience. Ambition to bring in new ideas and embrace technological developments to come up with new ways to solve challenges. And patience to do so while still honoring key principles and lessons learned in the past. I think this balance and the mindset to adapt and evolve are absolutely key for us early career geos. And while this might be a nice soundbite, let me add a little more context for the two parts of this statement. There's undoubtedly no substitute for decades of experience, and equally important, there's a lot of value in diversity of knowledge. So I encourage all of us early career geos to actively engage in knowledge transfer and learn as much as we can from our most experienced coworkers and embrace the collaboration with your engineers to learn their language. If you're able to bring in a multidisciplinary understanding, you can help provide a much broader range of angles from which to tackle a given challenge. Now, let me briefly step on my soapbox here for a second to talk about technology. The whole baby boomer generation that just retired and concluded the big crew change that the oil industry talked about for over a decade now, they have seen the transition from colored pencil geology with hand-drawn maps and lighting tables to our current software-based ways. At no point in this technological transition did the role of the geologist ever become redundant. And until we achieve orders of magnitude more computing power to program an algorithm or artificial intelligence that can emulate geological experience in exploration, development, production, field work, and so on, pretty much all the years and decades it takes to make a decent geologist, until we achieve that, I really don't expect software companies to come up with a program that has a find oil button. We should embrace new technology to help us be more efficient and speed up menial and our repetitive tasks, and to keep on pushing the envelope to be creative and find new solutions to those existing and evolving technical challenges. We need geoscientists and engineers with a very similar skill set, whether we're working on hydrocarbon extraction, CO2 sequestration, or geothermal projects. Think about reservoir quality, fluid flow, seal integrity. Topics such as data analytics and artificial intelligence, reservoir characterization, geomodeling are some key ingredients at this point in time. But in addition to technical expertise, we will always need team players and people who also have the ability and willingness to listen and learn. So I'd like to leave it with that. Whatever you bring to the table, be the rising tide that lifts all boats.
I completely agree with you, Philip. Ambition and patience are so key. And in my short career, I've seen a lot of what you've talked about, you know, big technological changes over the past 8 years that I've been working full time. And I'm excited to see what more is to come in the future. So thank you so much for your time and coming and joining us on our podcast. And it was great to meet you, Philip.
Thank you so much, guys.
So thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the next episode of the AAPG Sustainable Development Podcast. Thank you again. Take care and stay safe. We'll be right back.